The Gospel according to Matthew, the 28th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him.' This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The Gospel of the risen Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Thank you.
They went to see the tomb. That's what our gospel lesson says of what the women intended to do going out there. They went to see the tomb. Why did they do that? In the other Gospels, it gives a little more of a purpose for why they're going out there. They're bringing spices and oils to prepare Jesus' body. But always asking the question, who's going to remove the stone that has sealed the entrance of the tomb, which we have no ability to remove? In those Gospels, they go out there to anoint Jesus' body, but of course, not really. They know they have no ability to actually get to the body. So instead, really, a more accurate statement is what our Gospel of Matthew says today. They went to see the tomb. And again, why? Why do they simply want to see, to view the tomb? Well, why do we do that in our lives? Why do we go out to see a grave of our loved ones? Very frequently we'll say, I just need to go spend some time in the cemetery or columbarium. And in those moments, we don't expect that anything's going to change in the external circumstance. Whether we visit a grave or not, the person's body is still going to be there. What we expect is that there'll be change, but it will change in us. And it probably won't be change we can precisely predict. It might be a moment for us to open up and allow ourselves to grieve. It might be a moment of peace, coming to some acceptance that this person in our life is gone. It might bring a moment of community if we gather together with other members of our family around a grave. And it might even, of course, start as a practical thing. We're headed out there to scrape the moss off the gravestone. And in so doing, feel a connection to the one who's gone. I would suggest, though, that usually, until we're really present in that space, we don't know really how we're going to feel or what will happen inside of us. We're ready for something to happen, but I don't think we would presume to suggest we can predict it. So these women go out to see the tomb. They might not really know fully why they're going. Perhaps they're going to spend some time, to be ready for that new kind of experience, to simply be present at Jesus' tomb, before Jesus, before one another, to let their emotions, their lives, and their grief, the space to live, and for them simply to be present, to go see the tomb. Then, of course, they get there, and you know, while they might have recognized that one doesn't really know exactly what will happen when you go into those sacred spaces, here, of course, even expecting the unexpected fails. What they experience is unfathomable. There's a great earthquake before them. An angel comes down who looks like lightning and removes the stone from the very tomb. And then that angel tells them, don't be afraid, and that Jesus, who was crucified, isn't here. Come, see where he lay, and go spread his message to others. For Jesus has gone ahead of you, and you will see him. And then the women leave to go tell the others. But before they get there, Jesus appears and meets them. It says only one word, greetings. At this, they worship. Remember, They went out to see the tomb. That's what they thought they were going to do. They didn't expect that this was going to be a day where they were worshiping at all. They didn't expect that Jesus was missing, and they certainly didn't expect the reason he was missing, because he was raised from the dead, and they couldn't have expected an earthquake to suddenly occur. They went out to see the tomb, which of course they did. And they saw that tomb opened before them. The resurrection of Jesus is not something that can be expected or, frankly, fathomed. A resurrected life is one that, frankly, we can't really understand. We can understand a resuscitated life, someone who nearly dies, but then is brought back. But that's not what Jesus is. Jesus is someone who has fully died and remains someone who has died and yet has life. I think the way we today in the 21st century have tried to go fathom that unfathomability of Jesus' resurrection on Easter is that we tend to think of Easter and Jesus' resurrection as this scene in this geographical place, very far from us, 2,000 years ago. We try to imagine what that day would have been like for those people, those women who were there at that time. Which, of course, we ask all kinds of questions because we can't really imagine that. The details here are incredibly limited. It leaves open so many of the emotions and questions we would have. The Gospels don't answer them. But what if that isn't the point? What if the focus of the resurrection isn't about those women 2,000 years ago at all? What if where we experience the risen Jesus and live a resurrected life is not in their feelings, but in our own lives? Can we really fathom that? Can we really understand what it means for us to have died with Christ in our baptism and be raised anew as a new creation? That's the identity we hold. Can we really get that? Well, it's a paradox. So not really. It's something that really doesn't make true logical sense. We can accept that it's real for us. We can experience it as real for us. And we can embrace it as an unfathomable, wonderful aspect of who God is for us, very personally. The text says, he's not here. He's gone ahead of him. He's gone ahead of you. You will see him in the future. It doesn't say you'll see him just once. You'll continue seeing him. You'll continue experiencing Jesus who is among us. Can we prepare for that? Can we put ourselves in a right enough mind that we can come to worship and be ready to experience fully the resurrected life for us? Probably not very often. But you know what we can do? We can go out to see the tomb. We all come into this space today, in person or from home, for very different reasons and very different motivations. Some might be coming today because they are in the space and frame of mind ready to see Jesus in their lives. Others might be coming, frankly, wishing they were in that frame of mind, but today, we're not sure if we're up for it. Tomorrow may be different. Others might really simply be here as observers or simply curious and aren't sure how they feel about this whole Jesus story. And frankly, others, quite honestly, might have been dragged along here today and really would just assume be watching an Easter parade, but familial obligation got the better of you. But I would suggest all of us can see the tomb. The women didn't come for the purpose of worshiping Jesus. They came to be present. And while being present, they are changed. Jesus changes them. Jesus appears to them. Jesus becomes alive in ways they couldn't fathom. And they end up worshiping, even though they didn't plan on coming to worship that day. They are told, "He is going ahead of you." But where is Jesus going ahead of them? It says to Galilee, but not only Galilee. Galilee, by the way, is the place they already live. Jesus is always going ahead of you. And not just wherever you happen to be going geographically next. Did you notice an oddity in this story? It says that the angel, before the eyes of the women, rolled the stone away. And then it says, "He's not here. He's been raised." Did any of you ask that cynical question? Well, if the stone was still in place and hadn't been moved, and then when they open it, Jesus is already gone, how'd he get out of there? The answer to that practical question might be multiple, but the theological question, what this means for our life, is that where has Jesus gone ahead of you is not just where you go geographically next, but Jesus has gone ahead of you already from death to life. Jesus, the one who has died when you first opened the tomb, already has gone ahead of you, already has been raised. As we all face our own mortality in ourselves, in our families, in those we love, we follow Jesus from death to life. He is going ahead of you, and you will see him. They went out to see the tomb. They do see it, and they also see him. It can't be expected. It's not about our motivations or desirings to see him or not. Jesus is going ahead of you. Jesus calls us in the experience of our life to come together to worship, to embrace those moments of going out and seeing the tomb, to be present and simply say, "Jesus, I am here." And the resurrection life is the life where Jesus says, "You are here, and so am I. Let us go forth together." Amen.